Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a dude, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. And I am your host, Brad Williams, co-host over there, Adam Ray.
What's up?
All right.
You just cut out, didn't you?
Did I?
It sounded like that's in my headphones.
Did I cut out? Maybe it was a little too sharp.
Hey, man, sometimes
we're not ready for you. Silky Jewish pipes are always unpredictable, man.
Maybe it's my headphones.
Is it the headphones?
It's the Bose headphones. It's the expensive headphones you got me.
Do you want some? Wait, are they?
No, they just keep. It's okay. It's okay.
I popped a little hard. I'm sorry.
Stop popping it.
If I have a dollar every time I say
that, popping
it a little hard. Turn it down a little bit.
You keep popping in my ears.
That's the voice of Michael Yo.
What's that?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure Michael Yo from the Yo Show, mm-hmm. from what are
dude,
all your
E
damn
Extra,
credits?
The OMG Insider,
okay. Chelsea Lately.
I'm a TV whore. Okay. I will admit, I love TV, and I was at E. I'm still on Chelsea. I do now OMG Insider on CBS. So that's like.
And then you have your own show, The Yo Show on Yahoo.
Yo Show on Yahoo, and now I'm a regular on The Talk.
Jesus, dude. So you looked up to Dr. Drew and said, hey, Dr. Drew, you have 5 jobs. Fuck you.
I can do that, too. I can do that, too. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm like the broke version of Ryan Seacrest. I'm the half-black.
You're the more diverse version of Ryan Seacrest.
Exactly, the half-black version of Ryan Seacrest. That's why I don't make as much money. But it's okay. I'm working on it.
Now, does one show lead to the – I mean, like, did you get – you started on Chelsea?
I started at E.
Yeah, hug that mic as much as you want to.
Yeah, I started at E.
There you go.
I got a call. I did a radio show in Miami, mm-hmm. and it's on Y100. It's a big top 40 station. I had a big show out there, and I did it for 6 years. E calls me out of the blue and says, you want to try TV? And I was like, no, because I never wanted to do TV.
Right.
You know, it's nothing that I ever wanted to do. I
mean, you got a great face for radio. So, so
thank
you, know,
you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so you just figure I'll just stay here where I can have my pipes come in.
Well, yeah, I work 4 hours a day.
Right.
You know, like,
perfect.
And lived on the beach. Why would I want to leave? And
yeah,
I,
it's
I
a
didn't
great
know,
scenario.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about TV. And
Y100 started to jump in. Is that the same network as DJ Laz?
No, he's Power 96. I was at his competitor.
Oh,
Y100.
Shit.
Yeah, so we went. Well, he did mornings. I did afternoons. So we never really went against each
other. Okay, you weren't against the pimp with the limp.
No, pimp with the limp. I love him, though. He's a great guy.
Is that like some radio? Is that a shtick?
DJ Laz.
Pimp with the limp. Yeah.
Yeah, DJ Laz is in Miami, Power 106. And, he is the pimp with the limp because he got, like, run over by a boat.
Yeah, it's crazy story. The dude is like a pimp with a limp. Like, really? Like, he does a bunch of music videos, all these Latin chicks in it. It's crazy. It's crazy. So they offered me a job. I says no for 6 months. And then finally my mom was like, oh, you need to go see TV. And I was like, all right, well, let me go.
Wait, that's not a black accent.
That's my mom's Asian. My mom's Asian.
Oh, yeah.
Dad,
my dad is
who's
black. My mom is Asian. But my middle name is Yo. And it's my mom's name. It's her maiden name.
Jesus.
How did your mom
That in
dad
itself
meet?
Should get you a show. I
right?
mean, just that story.
No,
I mean,
no. And they own a Jewish deli in Houston, Texas.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, right. No. It's
if you've got a Mormon dog, I'm going to take my pants off and run down the street.
It's crazy. Yeah, they got this deli in Houston. And, yeah, it's just the whole story is crazy. And
we're going to go to the black and the Asian deli. They have the best cuts of pastrami over there.
Exactly. My mom's like, oh, what you want? What you want? You know, so, yeah.
How did your mom and dad meet?
In the war. Well, not in the war. My dad was stationed over there, and he basically hooked up with my mom, and then they wrote letters for 3 years.
All right.
And he flew her over and got married, and they've been married for almost 40 years. This year will be 40 years.
Holy
dude,
God.
And that's super – you have to not only be impressed by that because people just don't stay married these days.
No. It's
like,
funny.
I mean, my parents are divorced. Just hearing you say my parents have been married for 40 years sounds really just
weird.
Crazy.
No,
my grandparents were married for 60-plus years, but they got married, you know, in
when they were
1842.
Yeah.
They were 160 when they died. It was pretty – I mean, that's the impressive thing.
No, it's weird because I remember when divorce first started happening when I was a kid, you wouldn't talk about it. It was very taboo. People would be like, oh, shit, that's crazy. Now when people are together, they're like, oh, shit, that's crazy. You know, you don't see it anymore.
People
you just
around.
Don't.
And black father sticking around.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
You have a black daddy and you know him.
Exactly. And he stuck around and he has a PhD in nuclear physics.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Your black dad is a nuclear physicist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not anymore. They own a Jewish deli, but.
But he's got the PhD.
Yeah, he got a PhD.
What's the name of the deli called?
Radioactive? No. It's a form of a deli. It's a deli known in Texas. It's like a chain.
Okay. Yeah, because that's where you're from, right?
Yeah, Dallas. I'm from Houston.
Houston.
Houston, Texas.
Okay. Yep. No, you do not miss.
Is there
up
a big difference?
Houston,
is that like?
Oh, we hate each other.
Yeah.
We like, hate like
everyone.
Like Crips versus Bloods, like Lakers versus Clippers.
Because Dallas is so pretentious, and Houston is like hard workers. You know, Dallas, they're assholes.
Let's
be honest.
Yeah.
Like you got they got the big hair. They go to the mall. They go to the grocery store all in makeup. And
I love
stuff
how
like
you
that.
Account. Big hair for being an asshole because hey man,
no, that's the first thing I noticed.
Let me tell you something, Mike. I'm a good guy deep down, right?
No. As soon as you walked out the gate, I was like, wow, you have lovely hair.
Thanks,
it's
man.
It's like huge. Your hair is fucking big.
You know, and I don't know if you remember me before because I've recently cut it shorter.
You
but it
cut
used to
that?
Be, oh, wait, dude, you don't remember me when it was like flowy long?
Oh yeah,
He used to be Jewish Fabio.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude.
He
it was
like
it was Stamos meets like early Danza meets.
Owned it though. You owned it.
Dude, but I look back at pictures now and I'm like, God, it was so ratty. And,
so do
I
mean, the ladies like your hair better now or no?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because I haven't shaved my head, so I still have hair. And
okay.
Like, some appreciate the shorter look. They say it makes me look younger.
And
but then
never
the long
used
hair,
anything in it. That's amazing.
No. I mean, I put a little like pomade stuff in there.
No,
to hold
but
it
like
up.
Tequila, like Rogaine or anything. You're good.
Oh no, I was blessed with. I'm a.
That's amazing.
But no back hair yet. I can proudly say. But I mean, hairy face, and I mean, I shaved 6 minutes ago.
How do you do that? Cause me, nothing on top.
Me, nothing on top.
All hair on the ass for me.
Oh boy.
All hair on the ass.
Dude, you gotta wax that shit, man.
I got wax that shit.
Oh,
who wants to
who
go
waxes
in?
Their ass?
I don't know, man. I'm just.
Do
trying,
you
I'm,
wax your ass?
No, porn stars
out
wax
loud,
their
man.
Ass. That's
I'm thinking
about
out,
it.
Well,
I'm not doing. Well, yeah, that's true.
You're a porn star.
Let's
too?
Talk about where Brad came from. Yo, is that better in the headphones?
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
All right, so in Houston, what about? Was there something about celebrities that made you go, I want to?
Nothing. Nothing.
Because
nothing.
You've now interviewed, I mean, dude, let's, I don't know
everybody.
Who's, Katie Couric might be the only person who has interviewed
can I tell you the
cooler old, people than you have.
The only person I haven't interviewed that I really want to interview is
right.
Denzel Washington. I was
dude, supposed, he's, fuck, please do and record it on your phone so I can have something to jerk off to because that guy
he's the
is
man.
My favorite actor.
He's the man.
He's absolutely. The fucking man. I hear he's a huge pothead, which is even cooler.
Like, I hear so many stories
fan.
About it, but I was supposed to interview him 4 times, and it didn't work out all 4 times.
For
like,
what
I
movies?
Was at, no, I don't even, just I, it
all
just happened.
Yeah,
like, at the flight thing, at,
yeah,
the, yeah. at the Oscars, I was supposed to, I did Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley, I did everybody. And they were like, oh, Denzel is coming up next. He walked up, and then right when he got to me, somebody pulled him away and says, you need to take this picture. And then we never got him back. And I was like, 4 times in a row I was supposed
wow.
to interview. There's a reason I'm not interviewing him. You know,
no, it's going to happen.
Well, like, he should at least half like you.
Exactly. I'm half black. I'm half black. You know, I'm not hurt. I'm not going to hurt him. My Asian side would get mad if,
yeah,
you know.
So you'd be like, assalam konnichiwa.
Exactly. You know?
Is there now a guy like that? He's like your favorite, one of your favorite actors.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's one.
Now, why is he somebody you want to interview so bad?
Because I haven't interviewed him. You know,
it's
like
that
I,
one girl.
You're
yeah,
good. You're good.
Yeah,
I interviewed Barack
him.
Obama, and
yeah,
I haven't interviewed Denzel Washington.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that was nuts.
Which,
when I interviewed him.
By the way, I don't know if you heard this. My dad is a huge Fox News guy.
Oh yeah,
watches Fox News 24/7. And he's calling me up, like, would you believe Obama just did an interview with some pop radio station?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's got the time, and then, like, I'm over at the house.
He's got the time to watch American Idol. The whole thing was about American Idol.
Yeah, dude, like, the first question you asked him, and he was like, well, I think Nicki Minaj, dude, she's
no,
I mean,
but,
that's a-
but the thing is, like, I wanted to, because people forget, I got so many hate emails from that because people were like, well, it's a pop culture. You should ask them about politics. So I was like, I'm not a politician.
What are you going to do?
So my first question, this was right after the debate where he got his ass kicked.
Oh, the first one.
So I said, look, there's a big elephant in the room and we need to clear this up. Do you think Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey can get along? So I set him up and he started laughing and he answered it and it went viral. It was all Fox News covered
it. Was everywhere because my dad's yelling at me like, "Who is this idiot?" And I go, "That's Michael Yo. That's my buddy.
That's that idiot, Michael Yo.
That's my boy, Michael Yo." He's because everybody
was like, "Yo, you just got your ass handed to you in the debate. Why are you now trying? Why are you concerned with pop culture at this point?"
But well, it's like, "Hey, because man, I asked him, what is he going to say? I'm not going
to
comment."
Yeah. Also, what are you going to be the thousandth person to ask him about the debate?
But like, you know what? If everybody went into the interview, my second question was about the debate. It was a very direct question.
Yeah.
Not even interrupted him when he started giving me copy points. So I wanted to start off fun, but then get really into some real questions.
You know what you're doing.
So, yeah, man.
Now, how do you figure that out? Like, can I tell you
it was my dad's idea for the question?
No kidding.
Yeah. We were at lunch, and my parents never get excited about anything. But my dad was like, "Sure, you better hurry up. We got to interview Obama." I was like, "What are you talking about?"
That's awesome.
Yeah, we got to interview Obama. He said,
"Popside coming out, my boy."
Yeah. I made you, motherfucker. You think I'm going to come up with the questions?
He was so proud at that moment. He was like, "Oh, boy, we got to interview Obama." And then I was like, "I don't know what to ask for the first question." He said, "I'll tell you what he need to fix is that Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey fight. That'd be funny if he could fix that." And I was like, "That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great setup question." And then now every time I talk to my dad, he's like, "You know, I made headlines for that question, right? That was all me. That was all me."
I love your dad.
No, he's awesome. My dad, you know, he's so smart. And, I mean, my mom is awesome, too. But they are amazing together because all they do is play fight all the time. That's awesome. So witty back and forth.
So you get all of your – I mean, you get your comedy chops. You get your personality – being very personable and just – that's all coming from both of them? Or
My dad's not a personable guy. Well, everybody likes him once they meet him.
Yeah.
But he's very intimidating because he's very smart. You know, and smart people are intimidating. You
Flash
know, like
black nuclear physicist, he could beat you in Jeopardy and at hoop. Come on,
he will dunk on your ass.
That's so scary.
And then give you a math problem on the way out, like boom, what? Like my dad.
Because normally the nerds are like, nerds, I hit you with a dodgeball. But then you throw a dodgeball at your dad, he catches it and goes, "What, motherfucker?
What? You want some? My dad always told me, if you ever want to sound smart, just tell everybody, do you know what the integral of XDX is? It's X squared over 2. And I still don't know what that means to this day, but he said,
I thought you were, like, reciting lyrics from a DMX album.
No, it's some Einstein thing. Some Einstein thing.
Einstein, DMX, pretty easy.
Pretty same, you know. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Now, were you nervous as hell before the Obama interview? Like, this is the man who has his finger on the button.
Well, my thing about the interview wasn't I was nervous about the interview. It was the people around him make you so nervous before you even, like,
talk. Yeah, you heard that guy come on. He goes, "Mr. Yo, the next voice you hear will be the president
of."
And then you hear you just go, "Yeah, okay."
Okay.
Like,
the next voice. Because you don't hear how many times they click in to warn you that, like, it's like, the first call is like, "Okay, we're about to wire in 6 lines into your phone line." And then you hear, like, 6, 5, and you hear the line.
Wow.
And then he's like, oh, we got a break. We got to do it all over again. Because I guess they only got the 3, and the other 3 couldn't connect, so they do it again. Yeah. And then every 5 minutes he checks in and says, "Okay, sir, he's about to come."
Geez.
You know, so they build it up. And then right before, right before the part you heard,
he goes,
"I see the boss man walking down the hall right now.
Boss
man walking down the hall right now." And then the next voice you hear is the president
of
the United
States. I see his face. I can hear his pants moving.
It was just like that.
And right then your dick goes from black to Asian.
I go, how you doing, president? How you doing?
Yo, how many potential opening lines did you write down? Because how do you prepare for, like,
if you notice, I cut him off because he tried to have a joke.
Yeah.
I cut off his joke.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because he had this whole thing, and I was so, like, you know, I was like.
You're just like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Because he wanted to say, "Hey," and you're Michael Yo. And I heard if you want a place to go to vote, you go to the Yo Show or some bullshit.
Something
like that.
Some writer or some aide.
Which is great that he had.
He had something set up.
Yeah.
But I cut him off, and it would have sounded so much better if I didn't say anything.
That's all good.
So I cut off Obama.
Oh, my God.
I know, but after...
It's like you and Mitt Romney have that in common.
You know what's crazy is after you... The feeling is after you finish talking to him, and you don't absorb it while you're doing it.
Of course not.
You know what I mean?
You're out of your body, probably.
It's sort of like you guys right now. You're probably interviewing me, and you're like, "Oh, my God, I'm out of my body."
Yeah, dude. I don't know what's happening now.
I don't realize I'm interviewing my career.
Yeah,
no, dude. 300,000 followers on Twitter. He can make
whatever.
My career.
You walked into my gate, I thought of all the girls that I just fucking wanted to text a picture of you right now.
Oh,
too,
yeah, right.
Just
anyway,
to get them
anyway,
to come over.
Anyway, so after it takes about a couple hours before it sinks in.
Of course.
And then you're like, "I just interviewed the president of the United States."
And what do you do? Do you celebrate?
I didn't know what to do.
Do you go out for chicken and noodles?
No, anybody.
Like, what do you do? How many black Asians?
I know. We need a. Do you have a bell? So every time y'all say, I can hit it. So we count them out. But
I think we're at like five right now. We've got to be at five.
Yeah.
All right. We're writing a brand new 20 minutes.
I know. I got a bunch of new stand up from this, man. Yeah. But the whole thing is, you know, normally you do something, you get a casting, you can talk to other people that's been booked.
Yeah.
Who am I going to call? Who am I going to identify with? I just interviewed the President of the United States.
Who's done that?
Who's done that?
Yeah.
If I call that, he'd be like, okay, Adam. Adam be like, I don't know. Okay,
all right, man. Yeah, it's awesome.
You can't call up Juliana Rancic and be like, hey, I just talked to the president. Did I say her name right?
I think it's Rancic.
But
whatever.
It's Rancic, Brad.
I'm not so good up on my e-news. Sorry. Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Brad doesn't know the names of celebrity hosts.
No, but it was a thing where you call people and they just don't know how to react.
Of course.
Like, oh, my God, how was he? Has he this? Is he that? It was mind-blowing.
Now, did you have the same type of aftermath after you interviewed Hugh Hefner?
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm being serious.
So am I.
Dude, you're in his house. You got to go.
Obama and Hugh have a lot in common. They both, I mean, and let me figure out what that is.
Yeah.
I just said that feeling like.
They're both very powerful men.
There it is.
They have a lot of women under them.
Yep.
In the cabinets.
They both
could
probably sleep with anybody they want to.
One could be a direct order.
You know, that's a question. Would some, like, if you're a girl.
Actually, that is a great question.
Would a girl just, like, a random girl that was hot or whatever who he wanted to hook up. I mean, that's bragging rights right there. I slept with the president.
But now on the flip side, do you take the bragging right? Do you sleep with the president for the story, or do you sleep with Hugh Hefner for the lodging and the financial security and the hot tub privileges Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6?
And the unlimited access to Fred Durst's cock.
But
is that guy still around?
He did it all for the nookie, man.
All for the nookie.
Thank you. I'm going to tap out right now.
Please let that be the only he did all for the nookie reference on this podcast.
Can I tell you something embarrassing? I actually went to one of their concerts, and I enjoyed it.
Of course.
I mean,
hey, they were popular for a reason, dude.
Hey, you
know
gonna
what? Tell me if they were playing tonight at the Hollywood Bowl, you wouldn't go?
I wouldn't go.
Okay. Well, all right. What if Third Eye Blind was opening?
Oh, Third Eye Blind or Wallflowers?
Oh, dude.
With one headlight.
Oh,
that's one of the best songs
Yo,
ever.
I saw them. My buddy used to open for them a little bit for a couple tours.
Get out.
So they were last fall were rehearsing at a studio on Sunset. And he goes, do you want to come watch them rehearse?
Wait,
what
band are we talking about?
The Wallflowers.
Oh, really?
Dude, they're one of my favorite. Like,
dude,
no
you should have called me, man. We would have Wallflowered.
Now
out.
I know, Mike.
Wore the T-shirts and everything.
Oh, yo, it was
man.
Unreal. It was.
We would have had a gay moment together.
It was.
That song from the Godzilla soundtrack was the shit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude,
one, two, three, Marlena's.
I got to tell you, though, even like in the 90s, they had the best rock music in the 90s.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And even the wussy bands were awesome.
They
you know
were.
What I mean?
Like
Live.
Who? Yeah.
Like Lightning.
Live was good.
Everclear.
Was good. Everclear. Yeah. Even the
Father of mine.
Oh, that's
dude,
like
that. Semisonic
Tell me
closing
where
time.
Have you.
Yeah, dude.
Semi-
I mean,
closing
oh,
time.
Yeah. Oh, how many? Oh, yeah, man. I mean,
I worked in white top 40 rock radio. That
Did
was
you
my
really?
First job. Yeah.
Oh, so
station
that,
in
so
Houston,
so
104
that was all you. That was like.
So how many times a week did you play Chumbawamba Tub Thumping?
Can I tell you my first song I ever played on the radio? Stone Temple Pilots Interstate Love Song.
Great, great.
That's a good one.
Dude. I love it.
So, like, did people hear your voice and think, all right, white dude with the top 40, this is great, and
no.
then, like, see you and
do
go,
I sound
what?
White?
What the shit?
No.
What, do I sound, I don't I, know I mean, what I sound like.
I don't know what you sound like either, but they
yeah.
I figure they just know, like, all right, it's
well,
like,
I mean,
top
they,
40
yeah,
Houston.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
what do you mean? Like, do I sound white?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Does Brad sound dwarf? Is that a thing?
Yes, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Adam, bro. I'm going to have a dwarf voice. I'm going to say.
But does anybody? But like that's what you have to say
but,
when you
but
do
black
press
people,
radio.
But,
like when you do stand up. What do you say? What's the joke you say? Like
oh, like I have to say that I'm a dwarf because if I don't, people just like looking at me like, does he know?
You have to address it for people.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah, I know I'm a dwarf.
So in this top 40 radio. So you loved radio so much that gave you what a performing like and
well the whole thing is and we all know this. I only started comedy 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
you progressed. At a rapid rate, by the way.
Well, I think it's surrounding yourself and watching great comedy. I think what
and
helped,
doing it. Like,
and
you doing,
it. Doing
these tours was a genius move.
Yeah.
You still host them now? Or
No. I've always – well, how I did it is – the whole thing is I started this Hot Mess comedy tour.
Yeah.
And now it's called Yo Show Comedy. But what I would do is I wanted stage time, but I didn't want to have to kiss ass to people in L.A.
Sure.
So I was like, well, I got a little name. Let me go out to clubs, do one night, bring the comedians I
like.
So
genius, dude.
And what I'll do is I'll let them open the show, and I'll let them close the show, and I'll go in the middle and work on stuff for like 15 to 20 minutes. And I would do like 3-4 shows a week like that and sell out
Perfect.
Places in other cities.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I remember I was talking to Russell Peters, and he was like, you know, your 1 year of doing comedy is probably like most comedians, 10 to 12 years in time-wise. If you take time-wise.
Yeah,
because
you're doing three shows a week.
Like, I mean, when you first start off, what I hear in L.A., like, you do 5 minutes, maybe a week. You're trying to get on people's shows.
Oh, yeah,
dude,
struggling.
And struggling to get on people's shows.
You saw that line down at the Laugh Factory, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, my first set ever, I did 15 minutes, and I've never done a set shorter than 15 minutes since
then.
That's
great.
You know what? So it's...
And I'm sure you had like you push yourself to write, take advantage of that
time.
Yeah.
Like I was writing and watching the Richard Pryor Showtime special that just came out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Before I was over, it's amazing.
The Showtime doc.
Yeah, the whole yeah.
Got you.
Oh man,
I'm 45 minutes in because when I saw your text, I was 45 minutes in.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry.
No. I was like, oh my god, I got caught up in the moment.
What a great time to pull you to a comedy podcast.
No,
you're so inspired from watching that.
Yeah, dude, it's just
like if you were watching, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Baby, like then maybe. Maybe you'd be in a different – you'd be crying, you know. You'd have to come over and try to –
This is awful. This is terrible.
Why has Rick Moranis not done anything else?
Dude,
it's a tragedy.
Did we not talk about this on the last podcast, or did I just tweet this the other day?
You tweet it.
Honey, I Shrunk the Grandkids? How do you not –
I've never seen that.
Of course. And how – dude, what a perfect comeback movie.
Did you see that?
No, it hasn't been made.
It hasn't been made. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Honey, okay.
Rick Moranis has been absent from Hollywood for mm-hmm. – who knows, man? 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Right?
Yo, what a perfect movie to come back in. You reprise your role as fucking...
Nobody would go see that.
Two people would, and I'm talking about me and one of my buddies who I would get stoned enough that he would go with me without knowing what he was being dragged
There's
to.
There's no way that movie would work. See, you're the only
I'm
going to
get a Kickstarter going.
Dude, what about the actors that are starting Kickstarters
and
not getting enough money?
Oh, because...
Because then the money's in the bank. You can't, refund their money,
Zach Braff did it successfully.
Yeah.
The people
from... Kristen Bell. Shamar Moore only
got...
He was trying for $3 million, only got 87,000. So you're kind of screwed.
What happens? Does he have to repay it?
I don't know.
I don't know how Kickstarter works.
I don't know either.
So, but I want to go back to something that our listeners who don't do stand-up... I have to commend you on something. Because
mm-hmm.
you... There's a lot of actors that when they just decide, I want to make some money, I want to make some extra money,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start doing stand-up. And they immediately go out and start headlining
mm-hmm.
when they don't have the material.
Yeah.
They haven't done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention any names. Charlie Murphy. But
please come on the podcast.
That's what we're saying.
That's what you meant. Charlie Murphy, you
want to
go?
I want to come on the podcast.
We finish each other's sentences.
So they just go too fast in stand-up, and then people buy tickets thinking it's going to be this great headliner
mm-hmm.
show. And then it's like, no, he's been doing it for 6 months. He doesn't have 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of comics, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years to get a decent 45
it's
minutes.
It's like when a high schooler goes to the NBA when he's like, yo, the money's there. I'm a draw. I'm popular enough. There's a need for me.
And hopefully I can grow once I get there.
Yeah.
But they start on the bench. And only a couple
There's a couple Kobe's, a couple LeBrons. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Kwame Browns.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Kwame Browns out there.
But see, I've always made moves that – like, for instance, if I didn't do well my first time up or my second time up, I would have stopped. Like, I'm that guy. I'm very good at judging what I'm good and not good at and ejecting right away because it's a waste of time mm-hmm. to me. I don't invest time in things I know that's not going to work.
And that sounds a little ridiculous at first, but I think that makes – like, why not? I mean, pick up a guitar, you're not going to be John Mayer right off the bat, but you should at least be Raffy. Like, at least
you should, or you should.
You should at least know how to, strum something.
Or you should love it enough where
dedicated.
If it doesn't work out, you're still going to be doing it.
So
my thing with comedy, I never wanted to do stand. I never wanted to be on TV. I never wanted to be on the Kardashians. I never wanted to be on.
All right, let's get down to this. What do you really want to do then?
I just want to
have astronaut.
I want to be a nuclear physicist, like my dad. But I'm too stupid. That's what I mean, my ultimate goal is kind of funny. My mom always told me I would have a late night talk show, and I would replace David Letterman. And listen, this was when I was like 15 years old.
Wow.
This is like a long time ago.
Were you interviewing stuffed animals and shit like that?
No, I never wanted to interview. Like, I just found from radio, and it all goes back to radio. When you're in radio, when you do this, you have to paint pictures with words. And when I got into stand-up, I noticed that's what it is. And if people can see you, it makes the story that much easier. Now, I'm not a comic that will go up there and give you 10 jokes in 5 minutes.
Right.
I'm a guy that tells stories.
Tells stories.
And Joe Coy has taken me on, and he's like my mentor, and I learned from him as far as storytelling. And Richard Pryor, they're all storytellers, like on the documentary.
Yeah. You know,
it's storytellers. And my thing is, if I ever sit down to write a joke, that's where it stops. But if I sit down to punch up a real story, because that's what I think, like, when people come to see me, that's what they want to hear about celebrities. They want to hear about your life. And I tell you, the pivotal moment in comedy for me is when I was 3 months in, I performed at the Improv. Joe Coy came out, and we were sitting down, and I don't even know the comedian name, but one dude just totally destroyed, crushed it, destroyed it. And Joe
Coy
was like,
Adam Ray.
And his name was Adam Ray. No, but after it, Joe was like, who is that guy? I was like, I don't know. And he's like, tell me something about him. I was like, well, he's funny. But no, tell me something about him. I was like, I don't know. He says, guess what? When everybody leaves, they're going to be like, that guy, last guy was funny. And they don't know nothing about him.
Wow.
And they won't ever come back because you don't know who he is. He says, but from your 12 minutes, I know your dad's black. I know your mom's Asian. I know he has a PhD in nuclear physics. I know you work at that time. I was
awesome.
At E. So he's like, and that's in his take on comedy was that's how people follow you when they know more about
Dude,
you.
People,
because if you,
I agree.
For instance, if
absolutely
you're,
agree.
Because if you're like, if I'm single now and all my audiences know I'm single, if I get a girlfriend, guess what? They're going to come back to the next show to see how it is in a relationship.
Sure.
So if you're just funny and crushing it, it's hard to build up an audience that will go with you. That's why, like all the big comedians, like CK, like they tell real stories.
Oh, look, I mean, it's
Bill Burr,
Jim Jeffries, all those guys.
Yeah, it's
and they've been doing that.
Again.
Yeah,
they get off stage, and you feel like I know this.
I know,
person.
And that's what you want. You want, and but so many people. And one thing I was lucky that I didn't fall into is I always started telling real stories, like about my parents. Mm-hmm. So I never had to go through the generic. Like when I go to the comedy store and listen to people, everybody covers the same topics. You know,
either
you'll hear the fart joke or you hear the girlfriend joke
or
you hear
women
the
and,
if your dick stays,
if your dick stays hard for 4 hours, call a doctor.
Yeah,
Jesus.
You know,
that hack
you
joke.
Hear,
I cringe just hearing you just doing a version of that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you hear the same like genres of jokes, and that's fine because it's about your own
and
take.
You know, totally, dude, because I mean,
it's
there
about
are
your own take, and I understand that. But my thing is, I started just talking about my parents. That was my whole.
And nobody
like,
can rip your stuff off if you're doing it completely
unless
original.
You're half black, and unless Tiger Woods started stand up, which would be messed up.
Although, if he starts doing stand up, no one wants to hear the stories about the parents. Tell us about the whores,
dude. What's crazy is it like God and. We're joking right now, but like, there's people like that. Like, people that mentioned just the other day about how LeBron could play football. As soon as I heard that, I was like, dude, I want him so bad to play two more seasons of the NBA and play football just for the story and for the create. Like, but with
Did
Tiger.
You see how fast he throws a basketball?
It's unreal. Oh, it's unreal.
Did you see
the
sports Center?
Science? Yeah.
Dude, 40 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Faster than Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, I think he'd be incredible. Yeah. But like with Tiger Woods, it's like, if he did a one man show, theaters across, he would make a killing. He doesn't need the money, and just told stories, but he'd never do that.
No. But like Mike Tyson, his show was awesome.
Was it
amazing? I interviewed him, and then I was very like skeptical. I was like, really? But he
had
why
would you be skeptical? You saw me in The Hangover, Mike. You know I'm an actor. You see what I do.
But when you hear this
that was Keenan Ivory Wayans doing Mike Tyson.
It was like Keenan. It was also a little Jay Leno.
Little bit Mike Tyson. We'll be right back. Oh, Kevin Eubank. If you actually, I am Kevin Eubank. Well, I'm not. We don't all look alike. We'll be right back. Anyway.
We'll be right back. But blew me away. Like the dude's funny. But
what did
he
talk
right?
about?
He talked about his life. Like all the craziness from biting off of Vander Holyfield's ear, and I'm sitting right next to Vander when he's telling
what?
The story. Yeah,
okay.
Paulie Shore sitting behind me.
What?
Vander saw the show?
Yeah, he was in L.A.
Wow.
They did, and I'm sitting right next to Vander, and Tyson's up there making jokes about biting his ear off. And it's crazy because it's like, whoa.
To his credit, Vander's broke. He was actually the valet that night, and he's kind of giving him a ticket, but that's so nice of him. But that's insane because – You would think I would thought the same thing because we're all performers. So when someone just jumps into our business and goes, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, I'm going to do this now,"
I wasn't skeptical because of that. I was skeptical because he can't talk in real life.
Yeah, how are you going to follow any of those sentences?
You know what I mean?
I
was like, how is he actually going to put like sentences together?
An hour together.
Actually,
yeah.
An hour together.
Did they have to put up one of those prompters behind him with like the bouncing ball?
He's got the stenographer right next to him from
hey,
court.
Man.
Just like going nuts. But like you saw And the same thing happened when Charlie Sheen announced that he was going to tour the country with no stand-up experience. And he's just like, I'm just going on a tour, winning.
But
I'm a warlock.
No. And he got booed off the first couple of shows. But
tiger's blood.
But then you get to the point where if you're dynamic, mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like, I think if you're a dynamic celebrity, you can tell story. People want to hear your story.
Sure.
Now, it doesn't have to be funny. And that's one thing I notice when I start talking about celebrities. It's a thing where you can see people in their chairs move up. You know, they want to hear that juice about a Kim Kardashian or a Tiger. When I hung out with Tiger Woods, you know, we had dinner. Yeah. It happened.
Please
right
after. Tell me it was in a Waffle House.
No. It was at this.
Did he make you wear a dress?
Not that time. No.
He didn't make course me. Not. Now you had dinner, like, and you're doing it for you interviewed him, yeah?
No, this is when I.
He was like, "Hey, who looks like me?"
No, let me tell you.
I want to have dinner.
Exactly. Yeah. He came to a restaurant in Houston, Texas, right after he won the Masters for the first time.
Awesome.
So this was a while ago.
Yeah. And 96.
Yeah, I worked at the restaurant. I was like the manager of it. And he comes in way early because he's been flying around. So the time change got him. And he's like, man, my people are not going to be here for 2 hours. I'm starving. You want to grab something to eat? And I'm like, yeah. And so the whole conversation was about being black. You know, at that time he went on Oprah and told everybody he wasn't black. He was like Caucasian or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Caucasian, Asian,
Blasian.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Everybody got mad. And through my whole life, I went to a pretty much all white school, the black people that were there wanted me to be black, and Asian kids wanted me to be Asian. So there was like, I had to deal with all this.
Yo, there's a one man show in that, by the way.
No, exactly. And that's how, honestly, my comedy. I want eventually it to be a one-man show. So I'm, you know, like.
That's crazy. There was actually like a divide like that.
Like Asian
kids. Isn't that nuts? You got to be like.
It was
one. Like,
yeah.
Can I tell you what's funny is the white people didn't care what I was.
Of course.
They just say stupid shit to me all the time about black people and Asian people. So it's funny. White people.
So you were never offended because you were getting both sides and they canceled each other out.
Dude, and both classes hated me for liking the other class. So I was.
As a result, probably made you the most popular kid in the school.
Well, I knew everyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let me tell you, like, it's funny how when white people, because of what I do, even today, they will say the most racist things in front of me about black and Asian people because they don't see me as one of them.
Yeah, right. I wonder what that's. Does that happen on podcasts? Because
that doesn't happen.
All the time. Yeah.
Dwarfs interview you and try to do that to break it down.
No. But it's funny. Like in real life situations, I'll be at a bar.
Well, in the context of what we're doing, it's
I get this context, but like I'm talking about real life.
Yeah, that's
scenario.
Fucked up.
Like in a restaurant where I'm with the boys I grew up with that are white, and we'll be in a restaurant and they'll say those niggas crazy over there.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
not a fan of that.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Like I'm like, and they're like, oh well, you're not black.
You're not black.
And they mean it.
They mean it. They don't see me
as
black. But it's so funny is, you know, like I think Eddie Murphy or somebody talked about that, or maybe it was Michael Jordan, or Will Smith talked about it, or somebody. Once you reach a certain level of success in somebody's eyes, mm-hmm. and you're black, you lose color. You know, because like,
that makes sense.
Like Tiger Woods was not black until he cheated on Elon. Like then he was a nigga. You know what I mean? Seriously. Like that's what the whole thing.
Okay.
Is my dad always told me, like, if you're 1% black in America, you are black. And I remember, like, I was saying after I had dinner with Tiger Woods, he was like, I'm not gonna say I'm all black because my mom's Asian. That would be offending her. And I was like, I'm the same way. And I called my dad, and he was like, look, son, like I said, I don't care what Tiger Woods say. If you're 1% black, you are black. And he hangs up the phone. So then fast forward to Elon chasing Tiger Woods with a golf club.
Yeah.
Right? My dad calls me up and says, you watching this shit on the news? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he a nigga now, ain't he? He a nigga now, ain't he? And that's the real perception of it. It changes.
Right then.
Like Michael Jordan was never black to white people. Mm-hmm. Like he was like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Will Smith is not black to people. He's Will Smith.
Until he said, welcome to Earth. And then they were like, that's not how you say it. You put a little black spin on that. And I dig it because it's quotable and we're going to sell shirts. Yeah. No, I
but he's still like, it's funny, you know, like you really, I talk to white guys all the time. And when Michael Jordan, he was my hero growing up, Michael Jordan. But nobody ever called him the N-word. I never heard one white person say, oh, that nigga's great. No, they were like, that's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you lose your color the more famous you are in those people's eyes, whoever your audience's eyes are.
I can't wait to be so famous that I can finally ride roller coasters. because I will just lose all the dwarfism like, shit.
You'll be so famous that like, that motherfucker Brad's tall, man. That dude is tall.
You see him posting up on the
sea hype, man.
He should play basketball.
Oh my god, I saw him posting up on a little tyke hoop. Motherfucker could post,
right, man.
Motherfucker could post.
You see him reach for the mayonnaise on the top shelf.
That motherfucker's tall.
They'll be telling you to go grab stuff off the shelf, man. They'll be like, he's tall, man. He's famous. He's tall.
That's insane. But then, like you say, the moment you fuck up.
Oh,
then yeah. It's right back. Oh, yeah, and then white people are like, "Duh, he's not one of ours."
He's not. No, it's like here's the thing: is like white golfers that love Tiger Woods was throwing him under the bus. Oh, how'd he cheat on his wife? It's like, and those are the golfers cheating on their wives all the time.
Of course,
you know what I mean? It's like everybody threw him under the bus. Nike was like, "Oh shit, I know you make us a lot of money, but we out." You know what I mean? And he just cheated. Let's be realistic. He cheated on his wife.
Right.
Happens every day. It's bad. From watching my parents, they have the best relationship ever. They never cheated on each other. I know it's terrible. I know it's bad. Yeah. But he cheated on his wife.
And you know what's funny? This day and age, it's just, I mean, I don't know if it was – do you think it's become more – I don't want to say acceptable, but just more of like you saying it like, hey, it's a part – I mean, it happens now. Like,
to comedians or people that speak the truth, it's more acceptable.
And also
but
a guy
as
with
a society
–
it's not acceptable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, like, I go back to this Richard Pryor documentary that you have to watch tonight. Yeah. He talks about the reason why he blew up is because he talked about real stuff. Like, he said the N-word. He said the MF word. But he was talking about real social issues.
Totally.
You know, where I think where he couldn't have got away with that now. You know, because there's too much social media. There's too many people getting
offended.
Right,
well, he was revolutionary in doing what he was doing.
Yeah, there's too many people that will pull advertisement. You know what I mean? So you can't, and you got to think, like Brad, Adam, you got to think, like, if you're going to be a true comic and just stick with comedy, you know, you have to hope your act is so good that it will get you to the next level. Or if you're the next level comedian down, you got to say, well, I don't want to do certain things to offend people because I want a TV career.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I want a career in this and that. So,
I think
you got to be marketable.
Totally. I mean, I think, you know, because it's funny how personal you get with your shit. Like, I'm starting to get a little more, a lot of my stuff are personal stories, you know? But I haven't totally tapped into, like,
you haven't talked about your parents' divorce.
Yeah, parents' divorce. Or like my things in my family, or like really being like really the like you know I talk about being a fat kid because that was like definitely a lot of like you're talking about the pain of like in my life.
Well, I was 260 pounds before.
What?
At what age?
Well, I played college football. I was outside linebacker for University of Arkansas.
Yeah, because 260 for me was like seventh grade.
You pig suey?
Big suey.
Oh,
I was 250.
God.
I was 250. I bench pressed 480 pounds.
Whoa!
That was a beast.
What the fuck? That's like 12 breads.
My idol was Junior Seau. I had 55 and everything back in the day.
Oh, my God.
Mike, that's unreal.
I had no idea about you. You're like, fuck that Dos Equis guy. Michael Yo is the most interesting guy in the world.
This is the most interesting conversation. No. Yo, were you good?
I played my freshman year. Yeah, I played against
Starting?
No, I didn't start. No. Not
matter.
My freshman year.
Team.
But my second year, I got too many concussions. My last one knocked me out for like 5 hours. And I was in ICU, and they told me I couldn't play football anymore.
And then, 12 years later, you cut off Barack Obama.
That's
trying to make a joke, man. See? That concussion. Yo, so you were jacked. I mean, you're a big dude now, but I mean.
Yeah, no. This is small. I'm 195 now. Yeah, I was 250. it was ridiculous. We were a test school for creatine. Like, it was our school. So
I did not even know that existed, I guess.
We were a test school for creatine. They didn't have limits they gave us. So we had to sign – in college, we had to sign documents to eat at the cafeteria. And I think the document – and I may be wrong, and I want to get sued for this. But basically, whatever they put in your food, you had to – it was all good. You know, you basically signed over whatever they – and they were giving us creatine 3-4 times a day, and this was a test. So they tested like 3 colleges around the country, and we were one of them. And I went from I got recruited as a receiver at 185, and I went to college, and in like 7 months, I was 235.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yo, that's nuts.
And like my mom was like, oh, you're on steroids? I was like, nah, I don't even know what that is. I'm just eating. But
I was eating the mashed potatoes, mom.
In this food all the time. You wake up at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, midnight. You can eat a full course. Like 24/7, they fed you because you worked out 3 times a day. It was insane.
Your metabolism was through the roof.
Ridiculous.
Holy crap.
So who did you like look up to, like player wise? Junior Seau.
Yeah, and Steve Atwater because he played at the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, Denver Bronco, great.
Yeah.
Woo! So have you gone back to like?
No, I hate the school. And let me tell you. And let me tell you why. It's nothing with the school, but you know when you dream about doing something all your life,
yeah. Sure.
It's taken away at that school. I don't even root for I can't – because to finish out your school, you have to stay in the athletic dorm. And that I couldn't do that because all your dream, everybody's talking about football every day, and you're like, I can't play anymore. So I just went back to Houston and got back into radio. But wow. You know what's interesting in life? Everything comes back around because – my career would have been over in football, even if I would have made it pro. So now for the rest of my life, I would have been sitting around talking about what I did in the past.
Yeah.
Now I get to talk about what I'm doing in the future.
Totally.
And everything's starting to kick off now where it would have just ended in football.
Right.
So I take this life over that life.
So but I mean, if you had continued to be a football player, then you would have a shot at a Kardashian. I mean, now that
I don't think I'm black enough.
The Asian would have taken over.
Yeah.
What was that like being around that family? I mean, like,
amazing. Let me tell you those. Let me tell you what.
Because I've seen 6 episodes of the show.
Yeah.
And if you have it here, in a nutshell, here's my summary of the Kardashian show. Ready? A lot of flashy shots.
Yep.
Din, 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 shots of Hollywood.
Yep.
And then opens on them shopping for dresses. Oh, my God. Hey, what about this dress? I don't know. I like black. Then cut to a talking head of Khloe being yep. like, we were shopping for dresses for the award show, and Kim kept wanting a purse that matched, but we couldn't find it. Then you cut back to her being like, I can't find a purse that matches the dress I want. Then cut to Khloe being like, oh, it was taking forever.
Sure. And cut to them signing a check for $25
million. Signing a check for $25 million. We'll be right back with more what the fuck did I just watch.
No, and here's the thing about the Kardashians that I tell everybody. Just being around them, like, people hate on them so much.
Sure.
Like, Kim's pregnant now.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, and it's fine. And it's fine.
But dude, that keeps them in the public eye.
That's what
they love it.
The more people talk about them, the more they're everywhere. But here's the thing is, people don't realize they come out reality shows. They come out with reality shows every year that don't make it. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, they're famous for no reason. There's a talent in getting 3 million people to watch you every single week.
What is it, dude?
I think it's people get fascinated. Well, it's like goes back to my storytelling about knowing about your life. Now people are invested in their life and want to know now about Kylie and Kendall and want to know everything because that's all it's about. And
they don't care. Also, you have to be a person.
And they
that goes.
Are exactly like they went into the show saying we're going to bear it all, and they still bear it all. And when like I did Courtney and Khloe Take Miami, I was Khloe's boss on the show for 2 seasons when Khloe did it. She did radio. And she's phenomenal in radio.
You were a boss for that?
So I'm on 2 seasons of that. And I tell you, to be around them and to see how people react to them, it's amazing. Like people
it's like Beatles
running
status.
Down. Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. And I've never seen nothing like that in my life. But the thing is, when they say cut, they're the exact same people. Like when I would argue with Khloe and they would say cut, we're still arguing after that because it was real.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the thing. Situations they're in. Like, they'll be like, okay, we're going to have cameras at the mall. You got to go to the mall. Well, they're going to the mall anyway because they need to get something. Just
yeah,
that's
well,
the
you
only
can't,
thing that's.
They don't deliver Orange Julius.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, I mean.
Now, were you intimidated with Khloe being the same size as you?
Wah, wah, wah.
Like, is that, is
love,
that scary?
No comment. I love Khloe. Khloe is amazing. Yeah. I love her. We talk probably, like, once every week. I love her to death.
Really?
Like, I'm not close to Kim. I mean, we're friendly. Courtney's cool with me, but let me tell you, I love those.
Khloe does seem like the most
Khloe,
like outgoing, personable. Like,
mark my words, she will be part of like a panel talk show before it's all. She will be.
Hasn't she hosted Chelsea? Like she was a guest host of
it, and they fired her.
Yeah, well, but that's how can you compete with Mario Lopez's dimples?
Oh, that's
dude.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
and that's hosting. I'm talking about when she can give it. Like, she could sit down on this podcast and kick all our asses. Like,
hey, man, let's set that up.
I'm being serious. Like, she's amazing like that.
Now,
like, she's amazing.
Well, because I'll be honest, I tweet a lot of jokes about Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite
Everybody
targets.
Everybody does it.
One of my favorite hashtags that, or at least my fans like, is when I compare it to Chewbacca and do hashtag Khloe fix the hyperdrive. I mean, that's... That's just what that.
That's a hyperdrive, Khloe.
Like.
Yeah.
That's just what people like. But
they do. Yeah.
I will say that when I do a Kim joke, everyone's like, "Fuck yeah, fuck that bitch."
Oh.
Don't like her. When I do a Khloe joke, she definitely got some defenders. Like, I think women love Khloe.
Women freaking love Khloe because she speaks her mind. She is the Chelsea of that group.
Also, Kim took the bullet. For the whole family,
and
right?
Bullet is a substitute for cock.
Yeah, dude. Bullet.
You know what's going there.
Yeah, hey, man. Yeah. So, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the other sisters didn't do anything. They just were part of
but
the package.
But you got to remember.
So Chloe can start from scratch.
Everybody says it was off this sex tape, but you got to remember, nobody picked up that show for 3 years after that sex tape. Like, and E! Picked it up because Ryan Seacrest was attached to it. Like, that show was shopped around for 3 years, and
no
nobody
shit.
Picked up. Yeah, because initially it was just the three sisters, and nobody picked it up. Then E! Had them add the parents, and that's when it got picked up. So it was nothing.
The family aspect.
The family aspect.
Because there had been three, let's follow. Well, had there been another three, let's follow around three rich girls?
I don't know. From what I heard, they, like, in rooms, they didn't pop.
There was the Lawrences, Joey Lawrence.
You know, yeah. but it's a thing where it's right timing, and they killed it. But it's not about what they do on the show. It's about how they made a $65 million a year business out of the show, which other reality shows don't do.
No.
You know, who's on. So that's what I respect the business. And they've always, like, one thing Chelsea and the Kardashians, they both kept their words, because I interviewed them before they had their shows, when they were going into their shows, because I had an E! Radio show. Mm-hmm. And they said, if this thing ever pops, I'll put you on. And both of them, the two people that promised things have.
Well, you know what? That in itself makes me respect both of them, because, like, in this, I mean, I think it's under a bigger microscope, the whole, like, broken promise thing in Hollywood, because it happens daily. And I think we can all list probably 50 examples of people and instances where people have said this, promised this, you know, this is going to happen, it doesn't. But, like, for people at that level to say that. And,
but they weren't at that level when they said it, though. Well, you got to remember.
Yeah. They got to that level. Well, that's actually even more impressive.
When they actually got to that level and said, I'm going to put you on.
Wow. Because it's so easy to go, did I say that? It was so long ago. I mean, I said it to a lot of people.
Or they won't even, like, address you, or when you're in the same room, they won't even look at you.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Because Alonzo Mourning, when I was 7, told me he'd give me his jersey. And that motherfucker didn't do it. He was like, I got to get a kidney transplant. I was like, listen, bitch.
Whatever,
like,
dude.
Yeah, dude, I need that jersey.
So you're a Miami Heat fan?
I was an Alonzo Mourning fan when he was on the Charlotte Hornets. I'm a Seattle Supersonics fan. We have no team. Thanks for bringing it up.
You have no team.
Mike, it's the most depressing thing you could possibly
think of. You root for somebody you don't even have.
I don't even. Dude, it's like.
That's pathetic.
No, it's like he roots for Santa Claus.
I know. It's like, go, Santa Claus. Tooth Fairy.
The Thunder. The Thunder leave. The Sonics
totally
leaving
you a Tooth Fairy jersey. Right.
Please do.
In the Sonics colors.
Hey, you don't think I'll fucking wear it? The Sonics leaving to go to Oklahoma City was kind of like having your girlfriend leave you, and then you have to watch her fuck a bunch of black dudes on TV 5 nights a week.
Why black dudes?
So why black dudes?
Just
so
what about any
guy?
You're right.
So it's like being like.
Well, I mean, half black side of me, like, what the fuck?
No, well, there's one white dude on the Oklahoma City Thunder, Nick Collison.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true.
Also, you know what? The percentage of white dudes in the NBA has grown.
They're called.
Asian is two.
Dude. That's incredible.
Know? Yeah, but the white dudes are European. They're not like, you know.
Now, and this is not a joke, but the Asian half you, when like Yao Ming like came in the league, I mean, stoked.
No, he's Chinese. I'm Korean. Two different things.
We'll be right back with more Ignorant Racism starring Adam Ray in just a moment.
Okay. You can't be mad at him for like, because some.
Because all Asians look alike?
Well, but then you're
they do,
half.
Though. They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think
that's
Asian,
me not doing the research.
You know, black people, they say black people all look alike. Asians all look alike. Like, black people I can tell apart. Asian people, I can't.
Stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They all look the same.
My high school was 58% Asian.
My God.
Most of that Korean. I know a little bit. Like, I know, like, the language is a little whinier than Japanese.
Japanese is very like.
Japanese are very authoritative. Yeah. But then Koreans like, "Komaseyo."
Yeah, everything's like a song. Oh, how you doing? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they talk.
Yeah. Doki toki.
Oh, neragari.
Yeah.
Don't you demons. Oh, neragari.
Yeah. I feel like I need to be painting a dragon somewhere.
That is the only thing my mom ever taught me. In Korean. Like, she wanted me to be so Americanized, and that's what's crazy about Asian people. They want to be so Americanized.
They do.
Like, do you know they slit their eyelids so they can be more American?
Women?
They do a surgery to open their eyes more.
Mm-hmm. It is true. I mean, the whole they all look alike, there's a little bit of truth to that, because if you lined up Jeremy Lin, Jackie Chan, and Sandra Oh, I wouldn't know who to throw a chest pass to. I would be like...
I would throw it to Sandra.
Who do I ask out to dinner? Who do I throw a chest pass to? Who do I fucking learn karate from?
Oh, my
who
God.
Who knows? Oh, my God.
Yo, now, you have almost 300,000 Twitter followers. You should have, like, 500 billion Twitter followers based off, you know this, and it's probably continuing to grow. Who do you follow, and why do you follow them? Or do you follow them?
I'm an asshole. First of all, I follow a lot of people, but I don't look at.
For like news people. Stuff to see like the tweets?
No. I never read other people's stuff. I just follow people. Like,
because you're nice.
Well, if I interview somebody or if I hang out on somebody's show,
isn't that funny that that's like a social media, like that's type of like a, hey man, yeah, like, nice to meet you, I'll follow you now. That's like a, so, it's an upgrade in the friendship.
Like,
yeah.
Like, but I can be honest with you, I don't read Twitter feeds. I don't read.
Well, that's because they don't exist. They're called Twitter feeds. I think you said Twitter feeds.
Oh, Twitter. See, I don't even know what it's called.
I'm giving you
Twitter
shit.
Twitter feeds.
Yeah, I'm giving you shit.
I just post. I use it to post, but I don't read because I found
it serves you well in that regard.
I read an article that says when you read other people's tweets and read other people's Instagrams.
A Jew gets its wings.
that was the second thing he said. First thing is it builds up animosity and jealousy towards other people that you don't need in your life.
Wow. Because so spot on.
That was like the Korean part of you going, oh,
jealousy, animosity. Oh, me no need in life.
That was definitely, push out. That was definitely the Asian Zen of you.
Push out negative, bring in positive.
Because you know the black part of you, like, hey man, I want to know what Ryan Seacrest is doing, motherfucker.
That's right. But no, it's just I and people get mad like when I tell them, they're like, oh, because I think it's the most arrogant thing when somebody says, oh, hey, I know you saw my Facebook post. It's like, no, I didn't. I didn't read it. You know, that's
you're right.
Or somebody says, oh, I did it on Twitter, so you must have saw. That's like you being. That's like us being in Staples Center. And you yelling out, hey, I want a hamburger, and me hearing it across the way. That's what a Twitter feed is to me. You
what
know, just people, just people
Mike,
yelling
Mike, you heard
out.
Me yell for a hamburger, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. That's why I came.
Yeah.
But I think people just assume you follow. And I just use it to post. Because really, like.
It's great for that. Yeah, for your Yahoo show, for any celebrity
thing. Post, and I occasionally I'll go through. And
so you won't tweet at, like, Chloe to
Well, because that
email
shows up in your, No. That shows up in your feed. Like, okay. I look at my feed, like what I send out.
Yeah.
I look at what replies I get, but I never go on other people's feeds to see what they're doing because the people I really want to know, I just call.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, what are you doing?
Like totally. That.
Dude, yeah. I do that too, man. I mean, it's like anytime I have a buddy with a birthday or something come up.
Yeah.
If they're a real good friend of mine, fucking call them.
But it was good that you actually tweeted this because you reminded me that I had to be here.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. I was like,
I
oh,
almost
my
was gonna
God.
Do that. Yeah.
He was like, hey, you got questions for Michael Yo. And I was like,
yeah,
I was supposed to be there today. I thought it was Sunday. So, I mean, it worked out.
Totally.
But I read my feed. Like, if you would have just posted it on.
Now, are you one of those people that's, because a lot of your business revolves around the phone? Like, my ex-girlfriend used to be furious with me because I was in my phone a lot. And I was like, this business is 24/7. Like, if I'm trying to get booked for a show or something, are you
on
your phone a lot?
I'm on not social media. I'm on email a lot.
Yeah.
Because
no.
I have all these different shows and I'm trying as of everybody else trying to get gigs and trying
to. Dude, you're booking your shows, you're probably getting assignments for OMG TV. Insider.
Exactly.
You're booking the Yo show. I mean,
you're
booking podcasts and forgetting about them. I mean, it's like there's tons of shit that you are constantly. Oh, you all right?
Yeah, I got a big teeth. My teeth are huge.
He just smacked himself in the face with a mic.
No, it's I mean, but I love the social networking aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I really love Facebook, and I just started Tumblr, so we'll see how that goes.
Now, as our podcast, we're going to ask you some advice because we are going to have guests on here that as you are, way more famous than us. And we're
not famous.
And we're
Mike, you're famous, man.
No, not famous.
I know a shit ton of people who are obsessed with you.
Yes.
Dude, yeah. I'm not even kidding.
Full of crap.
Mike, my sister, first of all, you're probably her favorite celebrity.
Well, tell
no
her
joke.
I
said hi. Dude, she's a, like.
Is she hot?
Yo, she just dropped 30 pounds, man. And she's got two twin girls. I mean, dude, my sister's hot.
Are you
for
pimping
sure.
out your sister right now?
You could call Michael your brother.
Yo, you might be the only person I would allow to bang my sister. But you'd have to do it on the podcast.
On the podcast.
So that's the only.
In your dining room. Yeah. On your table.
On the table, man. Yeah. With the Rite Aid candle that is vanilla but smells like
Rite
maple
Aid?
Syrup.
Is this really Rite Aid?
Yeah.
You went high class for me. Huh?
Hey, man.
Absolutely.
And what's great about Rite Aid, you probably
come back again, I'll go to Target.
You just walk down the street. let me pick up this candle.
Now, when you worked for what was the advice you were going to ask?
Oh, well, like, I was going to say, we're going to have some people on this show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare for
Denzel? Yeah, Denzel's coming on next week. Yeah. I hope that's not going to, like, I don't want to rub the salt in the wound.
I know.
But
if you
he wants
Denzel,
to talk about Philadelphia, too.
I will come and punch both of y'all in the face if y'all got
He wants to come on Philadelphia, too. He's coming out. He's going to be like, you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that my client, Andrew Beckett Jr., has the HIV virus. Okay, all right.
Okay, all right.
Dude, I want to do a Denzel so bad because I just.
working
He's the
on
best,
it.
Man.
But like, but like, how do you prepare for an interview? When you hear, all right, you got to interview Tom Hanks. What do you
know what? Now I've interviewed, so, like, here's the thing. Everybody, they get the same questions at Junkets. They get. I try to do, like, have fun with them now. Mm-hmm. I'll do quizzes with them, like know your cast or, like, bring up funny pop culture questions that they have to answer. I never, like, the image. What's great about stand-up is I was on the set of Modern Family. And nice. This was about 6 months ago. And the cast, Julie Bowen and Ty Burrell comes up to me and goes, oh, my God, I heard you do stand-up. That's amazing. And
wow.
They're,
isn't
and
that
they're,
awesome?
They're like
– Ty Burrell's one of my favorite TV actors.
I'm like, yeah, I do it. It's a lot of – they were like, I don't see how you do that. You just get on stage with a mic and you do it. He says, we have people write our lines. And Julie's
awesome.
Like, yeah, we're just –
isn't that
we just,
awesome? But they're so good.
And they're so good. Yeah. And then you're hearing that like so
– immediately they have mutual respect. And that's
and, yeah. and that's what I'm going to say with you. Now that my career is built and comedy is, keeps
yeah,
building,
dude.
Now I'm a comedian that can host. Before, mm-hmm. if you're a host, you get no
props awesome.
From the industry.
That's
but
awesome.
But if you're a comedian, it right. automatically makes you viable where casting directors are like, when they see your stand-up, they're like, I can see him in this.
Sure.
You know, me reading a prompter, they'd be like, oh, he's a host, so let's put him in this movie as a host.
Yeah, and they know you can be funny, and they know you can yeah. play a character. And when you tell your stories about your family on stage, you're playing the character of Michael Yo. But that is a character because you're exaggerating things.
And not to jump ahead, but like that's where I'm doing Caroline's. I'm headlining Caroline's in 2 weeks in New York.
I'll be there the week after.
Oh, look at that. With D'Elia.
Well, yeah, the Heat premieres out there right after.
Yeah.
So, are you going to talk to Melissa or Santa? Or are you going to get any sort of?
I don't know. Hopefully,
just try to hook it up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
The Heat comes out when? Adam Ray?
June 28th.
June 28th.
Maybe I'll come on the Yo Show, right?
Absolutely, dude. Right. I'll be in Caroline's the 14th and 15th, and they're taping it because
awesome
networks are interested. So we're going to pitch the show as my stand-up. Mm-hmm. Instead of giving them a script, I want to give them real jokes that my parents said so they can hear the – because you can't fight laughter. You can't argue with
nope.
if it's funny or not
Genius.
If you have laughter.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so you pitch it off of your stand-up rather than a script. So, and then they hire writers.
Well,
there's three networks, like major networks interested in my story. Like,
great.
It's, but because great, every man. Time I say my dad's black, my mom's Asian, and they own a Jewish deli, they're like, okay, sold. Where we go?
Yeah, we're signing.
It pretty. Yeah, dude. Just
but
fucking put. You know, put.
That sounds like a sitcom. I think that's pretty much the play for like.
My dad's black. My mom's Korean, and they own the Jewish deli.
Done.
Boom.
Yeah. Find some sort of part for Kelsey Grammer, and just because, dude, he's sitcom gold, man.
Oh, dude.
Let him play the father of maybe. Let him play the Jewish deli owner. Or no, that should be Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Or
who else?
Adam Ray.
Adam Ray.
Adam Ray.
I'll grow a beard.
Hey, you get in one movie. You just think you're going to be in
everything. I know. He's going to be in everything.
Don't you, Ray.
I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about According to Jim from 7 years ago.
Right.
But to answer your question, I would just not necessarily – because some people get upset when you don't know everything about them. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun to take the interview in a direction that you just have fun like this.
Well, because
like
we know enough of
stuff.
Yeah. And also having a genuine curiosity. That's why, like, we, you know, learning, like, you know, knowing a little bit about the sports, but enough to, like, so that you can actually feel
honestly,
like you want to tell us about it.
I asked them one question about the movie they're on, and then I just asked stuff I want to know.
That's smart.
You know what I mean? I could,
and that's different. And you're getting, and that's why it shows when people are so open with you.
And they get excited and they say things they shouldn't say on camera.
I saw you did something with Chloe where you just like, it was like a 1 minute, like rapid fire thing.
Oh, yeah. Where we talk about sex the whole time.
Yeah. And you're like, are you wearing underwear right now? And she was like, no.
No. Like, have you ever made out with a chick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
or whatever. You know, so it puts them in at ease where as soon as you walk in, like what I notice is watching reporters when they interview their reporters, like, okay. Tell us about the movie. So what was your inspiration? I don't care what your inspiration was.
Right.
You know, I want to know, where's the after party and what are we doing? You know, I want to know.
the fun stuff.
Yeah, I want to know, hey, Leo, you invite me out for a drink or what? He's
sure.
like, yeah. I'll go, okay.
Leo, you know, you've been having that yacht with whores on it the last couple weeks. Jesus
Christ.
Did
you see him wearing that mask?
No, I didn't see that part.
He was wearing some, I guess, I don't know, him and his crew were wearing masks and eating pizza through him because he was walking the street so he didn't want nobody to recognize him. So we wore a black
mask. I bumped
into
him at the Grove once.
Oh, yeah?
I was high as balls. I was going to see
he is a legend, though, already.
Yo, like, he's unreal. Ridiculous. The fact – I mean, he doesn't need an Oscar to prove anything, but, like, Aviator, he should have won for. But
You met him at the Grove.
Yeah, I bumped into
him. That was the weed. I think he was like, I was high.
No.
I think I'm still high.
No, yeah. there was a pause because I realized that this is just a – you know when you start a story and you go, well, this has no point or punchline whatsoever.
Well, this is this whole show. I mean, basically, yeah. We're just hanging out with no point. Let's change the name of the show to No Point.
Yeah.
This is the No Points Podcast.
No Points Podcast.
Brad Williams. Yeah. Joined by Michael Yo. Michael Yo, start a story and end it without any kind of conclusion.
What if the podcast
So I was at the
stopped?
Grove with Leo.
Yeah. Anyway, boy, what are you doing tomorrow? If you were to do a rapid fire with Morgan Freeman, let's say I'm coming out in Shawshank Redemption 2. Let's do a little
is
rapid fire.
Is that Morgan Freeman? Well, I mean,
is this
that?
Morgan Freeman?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, this is Morgan Freeman.
Is it
Hello,
really?
Michael. Yo, yes, this is Morgan Freeman.
I could have told you that. That was
I could have told
Freeman
you that this
impression.
Is a Morgan.
Is that how he sounds?
This is what Morgan Freeman sounds like.
I don't
you need
think
to get
so.
On board with this, Michael, because this is my fucking podcast.
Okay. Do you believe God is black?
Maybe.
Maybe, but you play God in everything.
I played God in Bruce Almighty, available on DVD and Blu-ray in any Kmart or Walmart.
If you could read any book to me, what would you read? Because your voice is like silk.
Shel Silverstein's "Where the Sidewalk Ends."
If you could bang any celebrity, who would it be?
Ashley Olsen. Keep them coming, motherfucker.
All right. So, what actor have you worked with that you? What actor haven't you worked with that you want to work with?
John Turturro.
I'm spitting everywhere. All right, that's it.
What's my favorite sandwich shop that I have worked at for 2 months and got fired because I put my dick on the salami?
Yes.
Quiznos.
Okay. Do you think Hollywood is racist to blacks still?
Kind of.
Kind of. Is that a PC answer? Give me a real answer.
I think that Hollywood becomes more racist every day. For instance, have you ever seen a black dog in Air Bud? And why Air Bud? Why not Air?
Jamal.
Air Jamal. Why not Air Jamal? Or Air Tyrone. I have a goldfish named LaQuisha. Why can't we do a story about her?
LaQuisha.
LaQuisha, I wish I could tell you LaQuisha didn't live long.
Can I tell you a funny story? I interviewed Seth Rogen, Craig Robinson, and from This Is the End.
Oh
yeah, yeah. From
that movie is freaking hilarious.
Is it really?
Oh, it's
that
amazing.
Makes me so happy because
Dude.
People are hating because they're like, well, a little bit is jealousy because everyone's like, oh, all the funny guys in one thing. Oh, I get it, man. You guys are all, but it looks incredible.
No, it's so. I don't want to say stupid is funny, but it's
no, that's comedy. Fine.
Like
Danny McBride, like MacGruber stupid funny.
Yeah, like just like you watch it and you're like, oh my god, that's crazy funny.
But they're all great.
The house, I mean, they all play themselves and they're at James Franco's house. I mean, and it's a real Hollywood party.
And Michael Cera's coked out of his mind,
slapping Rihanna on the ass, and then
oh dude,
and then
I'm seeing it just off that.
And then apocalypse happens, and it's just craziness. But I got to tell you, one thing I learned from like Craig and all these guys, and even Jason Segel. That's one problem about stand-up, about comedians, is they don't support each other a lot. There's not a big support group because – and the thing, like I remember interviewing Jason, and he was like – he wasn't getting casted.
Yeah.
So they said write a movie. But the thing is once he wrote a movie, everybody started to get love. And his crew – he had a crew with people he wanted to work with, and he takes them everywhere he goes. You know, they write in – stuff for each other, where a lot of comedians, it's all about me. If I break, I'm going to make it.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about who you bring with you. Because guess what? It's longevity in, like, if I break big and put you in a movie.
Yeah.
Guess what? If you break, so there's not enough of that. And that's one thing why I started Hot Mess is, I don't know if you, but I fly the people out, put them up in the same hotel.
Yeah, like, man. It's
A-class, and because I feel that all comes back. And
it does.
It does. And you also, like, I've seen the lineups that you have. You take comedians who are headliners that people haven't discovered yet. Like, you take Sarah Tiana with
Sarah
you.
Sarah Tiana, Britt Morin before he got booked on a TV show.
Yeah.
But, like,
Nick Guerra's on your tour right now.
Nick Guerra's amazing. Darnell Rollins has done my tour. Joe Coy has done it.
Yeah.
You know, so you get these.
Mark Saratella's done it. I just got back from Mesquite, Nevada. I saw Toupes.
Adam Ray.
I saw Mullins.
Turned me down twice, so, but that's all good.
Yo, no, but then one time you booked me and forgot.
I did.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You forget what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy, yeah.
Because that's
podcasts,
what
hot mess shows.
No.
I can't wait to play the Jewish deli and then not play the Jewish deli.
No. because look, you know I have 15 jobs.
No, Mike.
And I was
totally busting
forgot,
your balls,
and I
man.
Totally forgot. I did. That's my bad.
Yo, but you know
but
what,
I tried to rebook you twice, and you said no.
I know.
So you got me back.
Hey, I know. But, dude.
So did you show up with your ball, and he's like, we're not playing today, dude.
Yeah.
What? Come on,
I even showed up with my Pizza Hut ball that they give you when you buy a personal pan pizza.
Oh,
yeah, we have room for you on the bench.
And then I just walk by with a boombox playing Everybody Hurts.
When you think you've had enough.
Exactly. That's what happened to you. But that's the whole thing. And they keep doing my shows because I believe that, you know, you just treat people right and they'll come back. Like I'm doing Caroline's. I'm bringing Nick and
Guerra. So funny.
Nick Guerra. And then it's a girl named Carmen Lynch from New York.
Nice.
She was in the Huffington Post, like top 12 or whatever.
Awesome.
But like these people starting to do the shows because it just.
You're giving people a chance to perform at clubs that you wouldn't normally have a chance to because there's so many. There's not thousands of great comedians who are headliners that aren't getting the chance, but you know, being out here in LA, there's a lot of great working ones that just, you know, you're paying it forward, man. Haley Joel Osment of comedy.
Well, what I'm saying is the main thing is that you can't do it without other people and without the comedians in LA showing me love and letting me go on stage and because I think I'm not the dude that's just going to – you're never going to see in the clubs. You'll see me 2 to 3 times in the different clubs in L.A. You know, I put in the work, and that was the thing Chelsea told me is, like, if you start this, don't be that guy that just shows up because everybody hates you. Then, you know, put in the work and help other people. That's the main thing. Help other people out, and it'll come back. And that's the one thing I take. And that's – one thing people don't know about Chelsea, she's so loyal. Like, everybody that's on that show
– yeah. And girls.
She keeps rotating it. And – people don't know, but no comedian wanted to support her when she first started. Comedians were saying no. Like, we don't want to be on the show. We don't want to be on the show. So she found 15 to 20 people that really believed in her. And guess what? No matter where she goes, they're going to go.
Made their careers.
I'm
doing it for the first time on the 24th.
Yeah,
after
man.
I come back. I mean, any tips?
Yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah.
And don't set up jokes. It's not about jokes on that show. It's about one-liners.
Okay.
And I have no pressure. Because I get made fun of the whole show. I basically show up for Chelsea to make fun of me. That's my shtick. Because I started as a reporter.
Yeah.
So my job is not to be funny on the show. My show is to be her punching
bag. Like Gleeb, yeah. I mean.
So, yeah. I mean, Gleeb gets made fun. But he'll have a joke.
He'll bring jokes,
Like, I don't need jokes. Like, I'll go in there to get beat up. Yeah. I know my role on that show. Yeah. It's like Joey on Friends. If he was smart, all of a sudden people would be like, hey,
I don't want this. Exactly.
Sure. So people know my shtick. People love it. She beats me up.
And then
I sell out shows.
You do sell out shows. You continue to sell out shows, and you killed it on the podcast today.
Yeah!
We can't thank you enough for being here.
We need more half-black people on this show. You should do
more half-black people in the world.
For Black History Month, you need half-black.
It's a great idea.
So you need just half the month you do half-black people.
Dude, churning out business ideas left and right. It's a great idea.
What other half-black comedians or half-black people we can have on
no,
the
show? No, just find some random half-black people.
So
they don't need to be comedians.
Oh, okay, fuck it. All right.
Yeah, just normal people.
Jalen Rose.
We'll have Jalen Rose on. Absolutely. Blake Griffin. Let's make
there
that
you go.
Happen.
I hear he's really funny. Have you interviewed him?
No, but I love his commercials.
Yeah, the funniest.
He's awesome. He's awesome. And
you
he's
can tell he's got a genuine sense of humor.
But I tell you, he would not survive in the NBA 20 years ago with the Detroit Pistons because he tries to dunk over someone, he's getting slammed.
Yo, I love that you said that, and I miss those days so bad. I am dying to see somebody go into the stands again and punch a fat guy who threw water on an NBA player because, you know what, man?
They deserve it.
There's so much shit that happens in the stands that you do not see because the camera doesn't pan to it or the things that are said. But, man, I have seen and said some things to players, and it's like, man, there should be no reason why you don't get, like, you know, hey, man, every now and then.
It should be like hockey where they let a player beat up a fan for, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and then they break it up. And then
you should get two a season where you get to go into the stands and take out a kid/fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mike, where are you on Twitter?
Yeah. At Michael Yeo.
And name all of your 10 jobs right now.
CBS OMG Insider.
What nights? Monday through Friday.
It's check your local listings. Yo Show on Yahoo.
Wow, you're one of those guys. You're one of the check your local listings guys now. Wow. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, man.
Okay, thank you. Yo Twitter,
Show on Yahoo.
I mean, Chelsea, yep. I'm going to be on next week sometime. The Talk, I'm on in 2 weeks. Yo Show on Yahoo.
And then
Stand Up Carolines and then Nashville. And then
check your site for all
just go to michaelyo.com. It's my new Tumblr page.
Michael Yo Tumblr. Michael, can't thank you enough.
Dude, thank you guys.
Dude, this was fun. And you're coming back, obviously.
And you said this was your first podcast?
My first podcast ever.
We popped your cherry?
You popped my cherry.
Woo!
I never thought I would have a dwarf pop my cherry. That's kind of crazy.
What a great way to end it.
Yeah. Twice your height.
You can find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All the videos and stand updates, AdamRayTV.com.
And y'all free up so we can do a show together.
Yeah.
Darn right.
I'll set it up in the city.
Dude,
we'll
awesome.
Throw it down.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Let's do it. Find me, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. On behalf of Michael Yo, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. This has been the About Last Night Show. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.